Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show.
All right.
You got your fingers in your nose, man. It's distracting.
What? Why would you look at it?
Because he can't help but see you sitting there in front of him with your fingers up your nose.
All right.
But what is it about your nose, man, that you got to have your fingers up there?
I don't have any tissue because I'm working in a garage.
You're working in a garage. You're working around a lot of exhaust. You're going to get a lot of pollutant and a lot of dust particles and a lot of stuff in your nose. You should have a handkerchief or...
I didn't have a handkerchief. What do you think I am? You know, like Farmer Brown or something?
No, man, I'm Farmer Brown. You got to blow your nose.
You blow your nose, man. What do you mean, Farmer Brown?
You said I have a handkerchief.
A lot of people have handkerchiefs.
Do you?
No, I don't have a handkerchief. I don't carry a handkerchief. I don't know. It's not something that I look down on.
Hey, it looks rural.
Well, what if it does look rural? It's something that you need, so you can make it look urban.
What about that?
It just looks too rural.
Oh, well, it looks too rural. Well, we can't have that now, can we? We'd much rather be urban, which means two fingers up your nose, like you're doing, I don't know what the hell you're doing, some Three Stooges bit, man. It's weird. Secondly...
That's not good.
Hold on. Secondly, it's as rude as hell. You look like a slob, okay? Quit acting like a slob. Go get a tissue or something and blow your nose like a proper human being, okay?
Yes, Dad.
Well, if I got to talk to you like I'm Dad, that's what I got to do.
Don't talk about me, my nose.
Yes, I do, man. If I'm opening the show and I see a guy like that and I can't think, nobody can do it.
You should have better concentration.
Hey, listen, man. Get Mr. Program Director. I love it, man. I'm taking crap from Bud.
I don't know why you put up with it.
Because he's, you know, a good guy. All right.
A good guy? He's a good guy what? Well, I was going to say something improper.
Yeah, don't, okay?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Does he store your weed?
Well,
I don't smoke weed. What a hell of a thing to say, Margaret.
I didn't say that.
I don't smoke that stuff, and I do not. I do not. Okay? Endorse people acting in an illegal fashion. If you have a medical marijuana license, I hope you got it legitimately. If you are purchasing marijuana, I hope it is from a medical dispensary. I don't have any positive or otherwise, you know, I do not endorse the illegal use of any drug, period. And guess what? I don't use it myself, and thanks a lot for me having to say that.
Phil, you didn't have to do that.
Yes, I did, because you just dropped that bee in everybody's bonnet. Did I tell you what happened to me at a radio station? I never told you guys this. Oh, this is a great one. And this was one of the greatest moments of my life. Because it was one of those rare moments where you're able to rip into a suit. But I was working at a station, and it will be an unnamed radio station, early on in my career. And I was out smoking a cigarette one night during a news break, but I was smoking it in an area, I don't know, the radio station, because a lot of people don't like smoke. So they used to have these, you know, even back then in the 70s, there were places where you could smoke, places where you couldn't. And I suppose I was in some sort of an unusual place. It was outside. And I also had my pants off. And
no, you didn't.
I'm kidding. No, I didn't. But anyway, a salesperson from the station saw me there, went into the station, and somehow the next day, I get called into the general manager's office, and he says to me, "You smoking weed in this radio station?"
You're kidding.
No, 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 no. I look at this guy, I said, "What?" He said, you heard me. He says, "You heard me." Like he's talking, because I'm a young guy, and a lot of these guys think they're talking to, you're just one step up from a juvenile delinquent, even though you're a professional and you work in the station, you know, they're paying you a salary to be a on-air personality. He says, "You heard me. Are you smoking weed?" I said, "Number one, no, I'm not." I said, "Well," I said, hold on, because it was getting very, I was pissed. The minute he said this, okay.
Well, you're not saying you didn't smoke no weed.
Hold on for a minute, man. I didn't say anything about that. The guy asked me a specific question. He said, "Are you smoking dope here in the radio station?" That's a specific question.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, no, I'm not, and I was telling him the truth. I would never do that. First of all, they're all kinds of federal prescriptions having to do with being within range of federally licensed equipment, which is what radio equipment is, at least the transmitter equipment is, et cetera, so on and so forth. There's a morals clause in your contract, all kinds of stuff. No way. So the guy says, well, he wanted to get it. I said, whoa. I said, I got something to say to you right now, man. I said, somebody told you that. He said, well, that's right. I said, who? He said, well, so-and-so. I said, well, guess what? You got a big problem now. And I wasn't talking at this tone of voice, but I was shaking. I was so pissed. And I said, you got a major problem now. I said, and I'll tell you what your problem. No, Phil. I said, no, hold on, man, because if you keep on talking, I'll just turn right around and leave and call my attorney direct. And that got him to shut up.
Well, every time you mention lawyer.
Well, you know, I didn't want to, but I said, somebody is slandering me within the halls of this radio station. Someone said that I was smoking marijuana, and I was not. And they had no proof of that. And they're now repeating this to multiple people. You, God knows who else. Well, Phil, you know, he just told. I said, yeah, guess what, man? I'm going to make him prove it in a courtroom unless you get him. So I don't know. If I hadn't been that motivated, let's put it that way, and I do regret being angry because anger doesn't really, it doesn't translate very well.
Were you like yelling at the guy and everything?
Yes, I was. I was yelling, and people heard it outside. I let in those days. I would let loose, and I would, you know, if you ever have heard anyone screaming and yelling at a person, that was probably me. You know, that's the way I was, and I'm not proud of it at all, because you don't get anybody on your side. But at that particular time, I was outraged, and you know, it's one thing, man. If you are in trouble for that kind of thing and you do it and you have to get yourself out of it. And it's another thing when you're not guilty of it at all. You just happen to look like a dope smoking hippie. And yeah, I had long hair and a beard and everything, man. It was the time. So make a long story short, I said, you're going to get that guy in here and every single person that he said that to, and he's going to apologize to me or I'm calling my lawyer. I said, I'm not even going to go on the air tonight because I was doing a nighttime unless you do that. And I said, I'm serious, man. I'm leaving now, and I'm not going to be on the air tonight. I'm going to call my lawyer, and you're going to have a big problem here tomorrow. So he said, let me, you know, Phil, all I know is what the guy said. Oh, so I said, you know, it's slightly different now. A minute ago you were asked. He was talking to me in a really, and I think the thing that pissed me off more than anything was his, the way he spoke to me. You know, it was, you, that line, you heard me, oh, man.
Well, you're just thinking of, he became dad to you. My father used to say that. He used to say, Margaret, where have you been? And I'd say, Father, you know that I was with so-and-so. I was going out with a boy in those days. And he said to me, what are you looking at, bud?
I think I've heard this story.
No, you haven't heard this story. He said to me, are you letting him into what my father called the gold mine?
What is the gold mine?
Yeah, I've heard this story.
No, you have. I'm sorry?
What's the gold mine?
Well, three guesses.
Are you kidding? Your father?
Don't you dare say anything about... What are you inferring?
Has he let you into the gold mine? Is that what your father referred to? Sex?
You're probably talking about a lady.
My lady area, yes.
Oh, God!
Don't you talk about my father.
That's the most vile thing. A father talking to a daughter about that?
Hey, what if there's dads listening who do that all the time?
I don't want to know them. I don't want to know any of them. I can see a guy saying, you know, be a young lady and behave like a young lady and don't let anyone, you know, force you in anything you don't want. And that's about as far as the gold mine.
Phil, you are now doing to my father's memory what that radio station general manager did to you as you were enveloped in some fog of dope smoke. I wasn't listening to the story.
No, I wasn't enveloped in a fog of dope smoke. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, you know, I guess, but you brought the story up.
I loved my father and honored my father, and he never did one thing that was the least bit untoward. He would simply say to us, now you girls, I had, you know, two sisters, there were three girls, and he'd say, now you girls, when I get home at night, I want you in lipstick and your best dresses, and I want you lined up on the stairs so I can go eeny, meeny. And then he'd say, oh, I'm only joking.
So I can go what?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. What are you laughing at?
Boy, you just said it's a joke. Your old man would have the three daughters lined up and go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, man.
You know what? You have got a mind. It's almost like your mind is a grease trap, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're the one that brought up all kind of weird stuff about him saying, you know, what did he say about...
The gold mine. Never mind, Robert. You're bumbling and stumbling.
Well, Robert's right. You brought it up. Creeping me out.
All right, Phil, enough of you being creeped out. I was trying to make the point about my father, the way he spoke to me because of the general manager.
Yeah, the general manager said, you know, you heard me. I didn't like that. But, all right, I mean, if that's the way your dad talked, but I just, you know.
Did you have three daughters?
Well,
did you have three daughters?
I can tell you I had a, you know, a young lady, a daughter. So, no way, man, no way. All right.
Well, you're not better than my dad. My dad was way better than you and much wealthier, and you know that.
Yes, thank you, Margaret, for reminding me for the umpteenth time. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more news of whatever the hell it is we're getting into here. We do have a debate to talk about. Romney accuses the president of weakness abroad, as Obama calls rival all over the map. Let me see. Oh, he calls his rival. He's all over the map with his opinions. Okay, I get it now. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Facebook is
the Phil Henry Show.
Facebook is the Mitt Romney headquarters.
I was going to say, yeah. We'll talk about that, too. Darren Brown is with us. Darren is at Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is the Ted is our sponsor. We had him on Friday night. Darren is the program director of one of our affiliates, just KEX, not KEX, is in Portland. Darren, are you there?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
What is the station?
Well, right now we're working with a consortium of owners. We have a Quad City radio station right now that is in the Quad Cities there in Iowa and Illinois. We're working with a consortium of people who are trying to get this radio station on the air probably by the end of the year. But right now we don't have any calls. We do call it just as a way of getting the name out of the community. We're just calling it the Quad City Talk Station. But until the time as we get that out into the community, and we have that in the print medium, we got it on the internet, we have a website, and we're going to have a Twitter feed too as well. We don't have a name. We'll just call it the Quad City Talk Station.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this situation with this program director or this general manager. Have you ever had someone do that?
Well, I've had a lot of I've worked with all kinds of talent from time to time, Phil. We've got a lot of different people who've occurred in line to our radio station, but I've never had anybody who's been on the air and who's been smoking marijuana or smoking dope or bringing on the premises a illicit drug or prohibited drug, because you know we can lose our license. And that's the thing that you really worry about. You're going to lose his license.
No, I'm not talking about actually having dope. I'm talking about somebody suspecting someone and they didn't have any.
I don't think I've ever come across anything like that, but you can't be too careful. You have to understand and come from a place of a person who's in management, Phil, because one of the things that we do when we're in management, one of the things we always have to do is we have to make sure that the people that we have on premises and on staff are people that we can trust, the people that we can have operating, as you just pointed out yourself, Phil, the federally licensed equipment. So if I have somebody out there, they're on the air, they're doing overnight show, let's say they're on the air until 6 o'clock at night, there's a very, very fair portion of the time. These people are by themselves, you know, they're not... these are individuals that are not bothered, they're not with any supervisor per se, but that's with people who are even in a deals band. Sometimes you're one of a two-day team. These are individuals who can be by themselves. And so one of the things that I try to do, and I try to impress my people, is tell them, well, look, if you're going to be on there alone, and I can understand people smoking cigarettes and all of this, of course, nowadays you got to smoke outside because of the OSHA standards. But I cannot have anybody smoking weed. And I cannot have anybody using any kind of coke. And I know that there are places, and you've probably seen these places too, Phil, where they used to provide cocaine. If you can imagine that, they provided, literally provided, cocaine to the staff.
I heard stories. Are you telling me it's true?
I am here to tell you it's true, and I heard about it. It's all in the smaller cities. I know some of the big cities. Where they would provide cocaine to the staff. And this was back in the bad old days. But to provide cocaine to the staff, I think is wrong. Now, to the question of what you were saying...
Well, the thing that happened to me was I had a general manager of the station look at me and say, are you smoking weed? Or he said, are you smoking marijuana? And I said, what? Because I was truly shocked.
Right.
And I said to him, what did you say? And he says, you heard me.
Right. Well, I think that that's how you're looking at that individual and not really sure of them. Let's take, for example, I'll give you an example, Philip. Can you give me an example?
Go ahead.
You know this guy, Ted? The guy that they find out on the freeway? And a guy has a beautiful voice. You know, what a guy And you look at the guy that has a voice like Hank was trying to find out. What's up with that guy? And I never did find out.
You talking about this guy, Ted, that the homeless guy?
Yeah, I'm talking about Ted, the homeless guy. This guy with a beautiful voice. And you think to yourself, well, I just found myself $1 million voice. I got a guy who can do the imaging writers for the radio station, and a guy that can do all kinds of things, maybe do some news. And I'd love to see a guy like that do the news for our radio station. Then the next thing you find out, he's a junkie. He's a junkie. And one of the things that you really kind of ask yourself the question is somebody reliable. Now, if I got a guy at the radio station like this Ted guy, and as you know, this guy had a beautiful voice, right?
Yeah, I still hear that guy's voice.
On the back road, Keith?
Huh?
On that macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese commercial, and he's still doing that.
Yeah, because a beautiful voice, beautiful read, and he was obviously his coach, not coach, but he was directed very well. But now here's a guy that's a junkie. And not only is a junkie, he probably was on methamphetamine and all kinds of, probably some kind of barbiturate narcotic. Now, are you going to have an individual like that at your radio station responsible for billions of dollars of radio equipment? I don't think so. And so that is something to consider. Now, we were the conclave. We were there in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, well, did you go to that? Because I was invited and I didn't go.
Yeah, I went to the Minneapolis conclave.
Okay, how was it?
Well, we were up there. I was talking the very thing to a couple of friends of mine who program stations in the upper Midwest. A couple of them were programming stations. In fact, they wanted me to come up and manage two of them and consult three more. And I've got all I can handle the Quad Cities talk station. But I got so many people who want me to come up and consult and to manage. And I can throw the towel in tomorrow, and I can start consulting radio stations. I'll tell you right now, it's a lucrative business. And one that I think I'd make a fair penny at.
So what were you guys talking about the conclave?
Well, we were talking about the very thing that we're talking about, on-air people that are using narcotics of some kind.
Well, to me, that sounds like such an old, antiquated topic. I mean, are people really that stupid that they're using drugs on the air?
No, but they could be using drugs. And you want to make sure that you're squeaky clean to the community, Phil.
Well, yeah, okay, but if it's not affecting a guy's job, how are you ever going to know if it's not affecting job performance?
What does that mean?
What it means is this. If job performance is not being affected, if somebody's coming in, doing a good job, and leaving, then why would you worry?
Well, I think that they're not doing it. If they're using drugs, they're not doing a good job. That's the whole point that I'm trying to make, and people don't understand. I try to tell people this all the time. I try to tell them it's the conclave. I didn't know that, you know, John Brain's a very good friend of mine, and I thought he was doing a good job, and I found out he wasn't doing a good job, because I found out that he was an alcoholic. Okay, so...
Well, what does that mean, you thought he was doing a good job?
I thought he was doing an outstanding job. He was doing the morning show for us. And he did the morning show probably for, I think he did the morning show there at Quad Talk Radio for about 4 or 5 years. And then I found out that he was a raging alcoholic, and that's when I realized he'd been doing a really bad job.
That doesn't make any sense. If the guy was doing a good job, and then you found out he was what did you call him, a raging?
Yeah, the guy was a roaring, screaming, raging alcoholic. And on top of that, he was gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But you got to let me know up front, because if people see you out with a boy, and when I say a boy, the guy was of age. He was an 18-year-old. He was a man, and it was legal. But he was also a raging, roaring alcoholic, and on top of that, you're going to be a roaring queen, too? So you have a roaring, raging queen.
Well, let's not use words like queen, okay? It's the 21st century.
I apologize. You know, let's not use words like queen unless, of course, you're having a queen weekend. This is exactly what we were having last week. I have to laugh because at the FM station we were doing a Freddie Mercury tribute. And I said to our production director, I said, why don't we do a roaring, call it a roaring queen weekend? He said, well, I don't get it. And I said, you don't get what? He said, what does that mean, a roaring? I said, well, what kind of impression do you get when I say to you that this weekend we're going to do a raging, roaring queen weekend? And he said, I don't know, Queen Elizabeth. And I said, we're talking about Queen the group.
Yeah, but you were also making a reference to roaring queen as in flaming.
Yeah, right, exactly. Very femme. Fans would call femme. Is that what they say, Sam?
I think that's more of a lesbian term. All right, I have to...
I didn't know that. Lesbian term, too?
I got to get going. Yeah, thanks. Okay,
You blow me off?
Yeah, a little bit, because you're talking too fat.
Everybody said I'd blow them off. Or they blow me off and say I'm talking too fat. Well, look, Phil, I appreciate it very much. I hope I helped you out. And,
Well, I feel that, I feel it's a new day and age. I think we should talk to talent or even anybody in any profession. Let's talk to everybody with respect. And I used to be at stations where I'd see fist fights break out.
Well, we don't need that anymore. Certainly don't need that. Although, you know, when I said Roaring Raging Queen, that's when John Bain, who was a very good friend of mine, said, "Are you talking about me?" And I said, "No, I'm talking about the group." I said, "Why? Are you one?" And I went, you know, I just had a, I had a laugh at him.
All right, thanks very much, Darren. Darren Brown, he's working there in the Quad Cities. That's in Iowa, Illinois, with a new talk station. And
what did he say?
I'm not really sure what he said. I know that I asked him about my situation, and did he have he talk? I don't know.
That was you're gonna have to go back and find out what he said.
Yeah, could we pull the tapes and I can listen to it one more time? We'll be right back. Darren Brown, he's a long time. I've known Darren.
Well, did you ever work with that man?
No, I never worked with him. He's just a guy that I bring on occasionally to consult with on topics having to do with radio. I was just reminiscing here with our good, close, personal friend Dan Northcraft about our days in Miami at WIOD. That was a great radio station, truly a great radio station. We had 24/7 good talent. And I was also mentioning The Loop in Chicago when it had Steve Dahl, Kevin Matthews, and Jonathan Brandmeier. That was a legendary station. So there have been from time, what I'm trying to say here is there have been from time to time talk stations that did not pander to this political talk instinct that every program director thinks he has to do. Those were basically entertainment talk stations, and they had morning show type shows 24/7, so it was a lot of fun.
So now you're going to pander to that by reading the story about Obama.
Exactly. Now I'm going to pander to talk radio, and I'm going to read the story about Obama. Thank you very much, Margaret. Romney accuses president of, what do you mean, pander?
Well, why are you reading about Romney?
Because I happen to want to see this story. That's why. Please don't touch the microphone.
What did I do?
You touched the microphone, and it went blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't touch it.
I don't take... First of all, don't ever say the words to me, "You can't touch it." Because there are people that might...
People that might what?
Yeah.
Misconstrue that.
To mean what?
Phil, I don't want to go there, all right? But when that looks at me and says, "You can't touch it," people are going to think that I was trying to...
Grab his thing?
I'm going to the toilet.
Yeah, there she goes to the toilet again.
You know, every time she gets pissed off, you don't go to the toilet.
I have to go to the toilet.
Okay, go to the toilet. President Obama came armed with an arsenal of biting one-liners at the presidential at the final presidential debate Monday night, trying to paint Mitt Romney as all over the map on foreign affairs, but he encountered a Republican rival who returned fire in moderation. I'm reading a Fox News story, by the way, folks. How much money would you give me? I'm reading the Fox News story. Now, some people may think, well, that's the accurate way. I'm sure. And what do you think it would sound like if we pulled up MSNBC? In any event, President Obama came armed with an arsenal of biting one-liners at the final presidential debate Monday night, trying to paint Mitt Romney as all over the map on foreign affairs, but he encountered a Republican rival who returned fire in moderation, at times chiding the president for weakness on the world stage, but also finding common ground with the man he's been running against for nearly 2 years. The debate in Boca Raton, Florida, the last before a feverish two-week blitz of campaigning, was a departure from the candidate's previous bout. A week ago, the two paced around each other in an interruption-filled bickering match. On Monday night, the rivals were seated next to one another, making for a less confrontational setting, though the candidates' differences were still on full display. To hear Romney tell it, the president has presided over a steady decline in American influence that has emboldened enemies like Iran. In nowhere in the world is America's influence greater today than it was 4 years ago. Nowhere in the world is America's influence greater today than it was 4 years ago. That's not really eroding, is it? It's just maintaining... I'm going to tell you in a moment, and you may have already guessed, what I think about this campaign up to this point. And it's not an angry opinion, and it's not necessarily a negative opinion. I'm going to tell you what I think about this campaign and about presidential campaigns and about presidents in just a second. Just so you know, I'm not sitting here reading this and thinking, wow, because this, I'm not...
You don't think that's important?
I don't think that this... I think people are breathless over these campaigns. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, these debates, these campaigns, you'd swear to God that they're talking about, I mean, this is the cure for male pattern baldness. And you know what? These debates and these campaigns are overblown the way any and all events in America are today. Everything is blown way out of proportion.
Yeah, but it's the future of the country.
Oh, is it really the future of the country? Is it?
What are you talking about? Yeah, it's the future of the country.
Is it the future of the country? Is it really the future of the country? You know, 4 years ago, when Obama was elected president, I heard people talking about how the country was going to go to hell in a handcart, and they have been wishing and hoping and praying for that to happen, and it never did. We got problems, but when have we not had problems? We've got all kinds of stuff going on, but the people that predicted Obama was going to take this country to hell and back were fervently praying for that to happen. They wanted it to happen. They needed it to happen. Don't tell me that you weren't. And it didn't happen. Now, what do I think of Romney? I think Romney's a good man. I don't think there's anything fundamentally devilish about being a Mormon. I could be wrong.
You don't know about the underwear they wear?
They're very weird, Phil.
Well, I don't buy it, okay? I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy it. They may have some sects that are weird, no weirder than some of these other Christian groups I see running around, and Muslim groups, and some of these other Jewish... There's not a religion I can think of, man, that doesn't have some freaky, weird-ass, child-molesting aspect to it. Some sect someplace. Multiple wives? I don't care. This guy seems to be okay. Now, people may say that I'm a chump and I don't get it. I get it. I get it better than you ever think I would. I get it better than anybody that's probably listening to this gets it. Here's how I get it. This country has had presidential campaigns going back over 200 years. We've had all kinds of guys. We've had at least two presidents that I can think of who, on the face of things, should have gone to prison. Warren G. Harding and Richard Nixon. Just... On the face of the events and the evidence presented, those two guys could have gone to prison. But, as you well know, every single president that ever served, in the minds of most Americans, probably should have gone to jail because we've allowed ourselves to become cynical and stupid when it comes to this stuff.
Well, you're calling people stupid, Phil. That's not going to work. People have to feel empowered. And they have...
Hold on, Margaret. I'm not calling people stupid. I'm just saying let me put it this way. It's an ignorant way of looking at things. There's been all kinds of presidential elections. There have been all kinds of issues. Even World War II. Wendell Willkie, the Republican, the isolationist, against Franklin Roosevelt, who wanted to engage Germany and Japan, who wanted to go to war on behalf of Winston Churchill. Guess who Franklin Roosevelt sent to Europe to be his personal ambassador to the Allies as America was lend-leasing?
I don't know.
Wendell Willkie, the Republican candidate he'd been running against. Willkie, when he saw what was going on in Europe, got off of that isolationist kick, got off of the whole, you know, and he was once again an American, because that's who we are.
Well, I don't, Phil. I don't know. What is his name again?
Wendell
Willkie, man, that sounds like a made-up name.
Yeah, is it a joke name?
No, it's not a joke name.
Well, I've never heard of him, and it doesn't make any difference. You're saying that some man in the 19... I'm saying that the future of the country is riding on the re-election of Barack Obama. And if Obama is not re-elected president of the United States, you might as well put latex gloves on Mitt Romney, because guess what, girls? He'll be knocking on your door, pulling those gloves on.
Pulling those gloves on, yeah.
And sticking his hand up. That, I truly believe that.
Boy, you talk about hyperbole, Matt.
No, not hyperbole. You can call any of the gals out there who agree with me and...
No, Mr. Angry's not...
Get out of here. How dare... Any of the women out there...
Get off the microphone, Margaret. How many times have I told you?
Any of the women who agree with me, please call. Mitt Romney is putting the latex gloves on, right? He's going to put his hand...
Well, you can whisper it. People won't hear.
He's going to put his hand down my...
Down your what?
You're getting a kick out of this, aren't you?
Well, Margaret, you know, Phil told you people are here.
I understand that, but I have the right to a free... To make this free speech... To make...
You got the right to the free speech.
No, I have the right... Yes, to free speech.
Go ahead, I'm not stopping you.
Mitt Romney is getting sized for a pair of latex gloves, okay? What are you...
Okay.
I'm whispering because I'm a lady. And as soon as he slides those on, they're going right down my...
What? We can't hear you.
You heard me.
No, I didn't hear you.
They're going to go right down my...
All right, let me just tell you what I think you said.
No, I'll say it.
No, I think you said panties.
How dare you?
Well, is that what you said, or if you're whispering...
I'm trying to be a lady.
All right, you were a lady and I was not a gentleman. I said the word, but is that the word?
And Phil, don't yell or scream at me so that your voice cracks.
What are you talking about?
Like that.
Well, Margaret, okay, in essence, what you're saying is Mitt Romney being re-elected or being elected president of the United States means he's going to give a gynecological exam to every woman in America.
Yes, Mitt Romney will consider, I'm going to say it, Mitt Romney, ladies, considers your vagina his personal property. Now, think of that. Think of that. And in a moment, I'm going to have Vernon Dozier. I called Vernon Dozier, who's become an Obama fan. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. But I know there's a lot of people, a lot of independents that are going back and forth.
Well, this is significant because I told him my philosophy and he got quite upset. And he'll be on next here on the Margaret Gray Show. I mean, I'm sorry.
The Margaret Gray Show? It's my show.
Oh, look at you with your Ooh! Very territorial, aren't you?
Margaret, I'm not being territorial. I'm trying to get our show moved along as I listen to you saying Mitt Romney's slapping on the latex gloves.
I said he's pulling them on.
Yeah, he's pulling on his glove, pulling off his slacks.
You know, ordinarily I'd slap your face for that, but in a lot of ways, you're right.
Okay, just so I'm clear, you're saying I'm Mitt Romney.
Well, you support Mitt Romney.
You're damn right I do. And you're saying Mitt Romney is pulling on a pair of latex gloves and sliding off his slacks.
Yes.
What kind of a comment is that? You think that Mitt Romney is some rapist?
I'm not saying he's a rapist. I am saying, though, that any of these Republicans that are going to affect a woman's right to choose, they think your vagina belongs to them. And if your vagina belongs to them, what's the next step? Taking liberties with you as your man looks on, as your man is restrained by his advance guard. Like in the movie Rob Roy, when Tim Roth went into the small cottage in Scotland.
Will you come on with all this crap? That to me, see, that's the kind of ridiculously extreme commentary. And it happens on the other side, too. There's people saying the same things about Obama. And I got to tell you, you know, I was on Facebook today. And if you want to join us on our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. That's Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS.
That's not the way you spell it.
I know that, bud. It's just a little play on things, okay?
You know, I know you don't spell it that way. That's why you went on it.
Yeah, but how are people going to find it?
That's why I'm spelling it out, knucklehead. And a lady, and you know, and there's no, to me, Facebook is like the headquarters of the anti-Obama people. I mean, the maybe it's just the people that friend me or something. I don't know. But the news feeds all this Obama stuff. But there's one lady. Now, this is what I mean. It's kind of, what does that mean, you know? This lady wrote, she's watching the debate, she says, is Obama bleaching his skin? This was her question.
What does that mean?
It was a very good question. I mean, that's what I asked her. I actually, usually I don't comment on other people's thing. I couldn't help myself. What does that mean? What does that mean, is Obama bleaching his skin? Because I looked at some of the comments above my comment, and they were all, you know, ha-ha, you know, as long as he doesn't get his ears pinned back, this kind of stuff. You know, nobody really asked the same question. What does it mean, is Obama bleaching his skin? And why would Obama bleach? See, to me, that's that kind of racial, non-racial chiding that a lot of white people do. And when you call them on it, they go, oh, that's not racist. But all right, I'll grant you it's not. So what is that? Why did you ask a question like that?
Well, I mean, why can't you? It's not against the law.
Man, that's not it, man. Why would you ask? Well, do you ask me if I bleach my skin?
Sometimes I want to.
Yeah, maybe I want to ask you, man, when you're going to get a nose job or maybe get your face fixed. You ever thought about that?
Oh, yeah. Are you saying there's something wrong with my face?
Yeah.
Well.
All right. We'll come back. We got who? Vernon Dozier coming up next as we discuss Mitt Romney. Vernon Dozier's gone from the he's gone from the Republican side over to the Barack Obama side. Did he say that to you?
Yes, he has said that he is declaring in favor of Barack Obama. And I wanted to get him on with Larry Grover, and I don't know where Larry is. I think Larry's hiding.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier and his talking to us about going from being a Romney supporter to an Obama supporter. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Did you hear what I said? I said he's putting his hand right down my head.
No one can hear you. On the line with me here is Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California. Vernon is also the head football coach at Belmar Academy. And I got to ask you, Vernon, right off the bat, how's the team? How's the season?
The team's doing good, Phil. And we have two more away games. I can't.
Can you hold on for a minute? Because I can barely hear him. Where is he? Vernon, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
What is up with these phones tonight? So you got two more road games?
We have a couple of road games. One of them is going to be in Boron, which is the northern desert city. Kids are going to get up into the Mojave Desert, and it's going to be a long bus ride, but I think we're going to have a good time up there.
I remember when my guys played the high school up there. Is it Boron High School?
I don't. Yes, it is, but I don't know. I don't know that this team, because the school closed and then reopened, so I don't know that this team is from the same school necessarily that your boys played.
How's the season?
We're doing fine right now. We got a league loss, which was unfortunate. It was against our rival Washington, and I think we got a little overzealous. We thought we had a sack. And instead what happened was we had a rough in the passer call, which I didn't think was a very fair call, and that gave them a first down. But you know what? That's football, and we're teaching at the high school level, so I don't make I try not to make these things life and death, but they do get to you, you know.
So you had a bad call, huh?
I think it was a bad call, yeah, and I'm trying to move past it. They're our big rival. The stadium is full, and it was also homecoming for our alumni, and so this call of roughing the passer, and I said to the referee, he's a CIF referee, he's a good man, and I know him. I'm not going to use his name or anything, but I did tell him. I said, you know, I'm very disappointed in that call. I said, what you have done, I don't think you know what you've done. I said, this is our homecoming. I said, we are 5-0 in our league. I said that we've got another shot at playing for our division. We could be a Southern Section champion for the very first time in the CIF in California. People don't know if they're listening around the country. We have two sections in California.
Right. The states that it's a big state, so there's a Northern Section, Southern Section.
That's correct, yes. And I said, you don't even know what you've done. We lost the game because of your lousy call. I said, and I understand we got kids here and the parents are here, and I'm not going to make a big issue out of it. I said, but in any other setting, I would take you, before the.
Did you threaten him?
No. What I said is I would take you in front of the Board of Governors, and I would make sure you never refereed another football game as long as you walked this earth. That's what I said. What I wanted to say was that let's you and I settle this in the parking lot, but I know you can't do that.
No, you don't want to do that. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Coach, but that is the nature of the game. You get some calls. Is there any kind of a review?
No, that we don't have. Yes, there is a supervisor of officials in the CIF, but we don't have the kind of comprehensive supervision and the review of plays that they have in the pro level or maybe even the college level. No, it's definitely not anything that I can't go and say, excuse me, but my team, all of these young people, were assaulted, violently assaulted from behind. You know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Would you please review that? I can't say that because that's how I feel.
And
all right, okay. Let's get off this. It's very emotional. And let's talk about, Margaret tells me that you are now an Obama man.
Yeah, I would say that. I talked to Margaret earlier with a few provisos. I think I would vote for Obama. It's more of a reaction to Romney and what Ms. Gray and I were talking about today.
Because I had been up at Belmar. Can you hear me? Hello, Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yes, Ms. Gray.
Phil, I was up at Belmar today doing a roundtable with the journalism students. They have their little student newspaper up there. What is it called? The Belmar what?
Yeah, it's called the Belmar Bell Ringer. And we've published it now. I have been the student advisor on that. I've been the teacher advisor, I should say, on that for 3 years now.
The Belmar...
It's called the Belmar Bell Ringer. I really think that name should be changed.
Well, you know what, Margaret? That's just the name that it's going to have. I picked that name out, and I put it to a vote of the students. I said, my idea is the Belmar Bell Ringer. I thought, I think it rings a bell. And they said, sure, whatever you say. I knew they were humoring me, that they think I'm, probably half senile. But now you come along, and you want to change it. And
well, that's not what we're going to talk about, is it?
No, I want to talk about Obama, but I want to make, Bell Ringer is the Belmar Bell Ringer.
I'm just saying that I think you need to change the name.
We're not going to change the name, so next topic.
Okay, let's just table that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, more with Vernon Dozier.
What do you think of that name, the Belmar Bell Ringer?
Oh, it's a stupid newspaper. So what? Hey, that's gay. Gay as hell.
Yeah, you what, man?
You're an idiot, man. Hendry. You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to bring you the very finest in entertainment. I'm Phil Hendry. We have on the line with us from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California right now, Vernon Dozier, that we didn't have enough time in the last hour, Vernon, to get into the discussion we wanted to get into. Margaret Gray is here along with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, and talking about your turn toward the candidacy of Barack Obama. You're supporting Barack Obama. You've been traditionally a conservative voter.
Well, I think that, in my own way, Phil, I think I've been a conservative voter. I know I voted for George Bush, and this last time out, I voted for McCain. But I think that Obama is... I think he's done about as good a job as anybody could do. I think it's time that we start recognizing a couple of things. One, there's one thing about being told, talking the talk. It's another thing about walking the walk, and this is something that I learned as a high school football coach. When you're the high school football coach, and I'm not trying to compare myself to the president, but I just would give you this example because I don't think there's a job out there in the private sector that is more like you're dealing with the public is more like being president than being a high school football coach. And I don't mean to be funny.
And in what way?
Well, first of all, you got a million people that want to tell you how to do your job. And they all are experts, and they all know exactly what's wrong with the team, and they all know what's exactly wrong with the players and so forth, and they all want to tell you. Now, this is Romney to me. Romney is like one of these parents. He's like one of these parents. And maybe he coached a peewee team, or maybe he coached a Pop Warner team or something like that, but he's just like one of these fathers or mothers and he's coming up to me or coming up to Obama, the president, or the high school coach, and saying, let me tell you how to do it. Well, I've had 30 years of that. I've had 30 years of these parents coming up to me and saying, how come my kid ain't playing? How come I'm not that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I've had 30 years of me saying to them, essentially, get away from me. Now, you have to do that because if you let them get a foothold, if you let them feel comfortable telling you this and that, then they're going to be on you like stink on you-know-what all through the game.
Well, and so what... And because you told me this afternoon, Vernon, the essential...
Let me just finish here, okay, Margaret?
All right, I'm sorry. I thought you were.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to...
Well, it's dragging a little bit. Can you pick it up?
Well, hold on, Margaret. Let him...
Wait, ma'am. Phil, I got it. Ma'am, I want to say it the way I want to say it. I want to talk it the way not talk. Yeah, I want to talk it the way I want to talk it.
You want to say it?
I want to say it the way I want to say it.
You want to talk it the way you want to talk it?
You know what I'm trying to say.
Let the man finish. You're making him nervous.
Thank you, Mr. Enria. So when a parent comes up to me and says, let me tell you how to do it, and let me this and that, I said, hey, get back up in the grandstand and sit down on your little stadium seat that you bought over here at wherever, you know, at the Pier 6, and drink some of the pineapple juice your wife brought. I don't know what you're doing. And get away from me. Now, they get very angry at that, but that's the way it's got to be. And this is what I think President Obama's up against. And...
But Vernon, the reason why I interrupted you, you were very moved by my... when I was telling you about, you know...
About what?
Well, Mr. Henry got upset with me about the glow.
About the what?
About the latex glow.
Oh, right. Thank you very much, Margaret. Right. That's the other thing. So you have this dynamic where you have the voters, and really not the voters, Romney and the Republicans are like the high school parents telling me how to coach my team, right? Now, I remember one year we had these cheerleaders, and they were going... The cheerleaders were on the sidelines, and they were saying the following thing. Go, go, score, score, touchdown, touchdown. Right, Phil?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what high school cheerleaders do.
Yeah, exactly. But I said to my players, I said, that's an insult, because I know and you know what we have to do. We don't need these little girls going touchdown, touchdown. What a slap to our face that we're so stupid we have to have them reminding us, right? And this is what I'm talking about. This is the environment that we live in. As a high school coach, I'm like a president of the United States. I've got the parents coming up to me and saying, why don't you play my son? He's way better. He this, he that. Try this play. Try that play. And then I'm supposed to stand there while a bunch of high school little tiny girls that are 14, 15, 16 years old, and they're going, they're looking at me, staring right at me. And I said to Bill Sweetman, who is the dean of discipline, I said, did you see that? He said, what? I said, that cheerleader's looking at me going, touchdown, touchdown, like I'm some kind of like I'm some sort of a mental deficient that I don't understand why I'm here. See, I'm sick of that.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, cheerleaders, that's what they do.
Cheerleaders, that's what they do. So they stand there and stare at the coach and go get a touchdown like I'm too...
See, I agree with this. When Vernon explained this afternoon, I thought, my God, the damage that's been done, you know.
Are you guys serious?
Why wouldn't we be serious?
Well, Phil, I know they should say it to the crowd.
Well, yeah, that's they're saying it to the crowd. But you're saying it's an insult when they say it to you?
Yes, it's an insult.
Because, Phil, coaches know about touchdowns. They know they have to go and go get one, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And so you're offended by a high school cheerleader...
They're called cheerleaders, Phil. Slow down, pal. They're not called cheerleaders. Did you hear that?
I did. Yeah, that's a little sloppy.
Sloppy? What's that movie that you were talking about, Phil Westworld? Sloppy with your drink. I think you're a little sloppy with your drink there, Phil.
Cheerleaders is what I'm trying to say.
All right.
So you're telling me the cheerleaders, when they look at you and say, score a touchdown, it's an insult.
Phil, would you lower your voice, please?
I am.
What?
Would you lower your voice, please?
It's getting strident, Phil, and it's almost as if you're angry.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Are you saying that the cheerleaders are insulting you?
I think it's very insulting to a coach of 30 years to have some little tiny kid in a little skirt with their little pigtails or whatever the hell. They're kids, and I understand they're having a ball. Just do it for the crowd. Don't look at me, because now what's happening is you're saying to the crowd, not only am I telling you, hey, yay, we need a touchdown, which I can't imagine the crowd being so stupid they don't know that. Now you're turning around and looking at me, the head coach, and you're looking up at the crowd too and saying, now watch this. I got to tell this dumbass. And
that's not what a cheerleader is doing. Margaret, I'm surprised at you for not knowing this.
Phil, let me tell you something, all right? I was not a cheerleader in high school. I had other pursuits other far more important things, all right?
Well, maybe you should have been a cheerleader because you don't understand the first thing about it. They're not telling Coach Dozier or anybody else that they're too stupid to know where a touchdown is and how to get one. They're exhorting them. They're giving them support, you know?
Well, if I need support, then why aren't they saying something like, Coach Dozier, we believe in you, things that I need to hear? Why are they not saying, Coach Dozier, we believe it. Coach Dozier, leave Coach Dozier alone. You parents that bug him and bother him until he's ready to pull people's eyes out of their skulls, why don't you leave him alone?
How are they going to put that into a cheer?
I don't know.
Well, there are things. I think what he's saying is this.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Who's saying that?
My name's Bud. You're telling people. What are you saying about that?
I can't understand one word that man just said.
What do you see? He says it's stupid.
What's stupid about it?
Are you trying to tell me that cheerleader's going to say, yeah, hey, yay, Coach Dozier, you know?
What? I'm saying, why are the cheerleaders not saying things I can use, like, Coach Dozier, we support you. Get these parents out of your life. Why can't they do a cheer like that if they're going to do a cheer?
That's a pretty stupid-sounding cheer.
Oh, it's stupid, is it?
Why is it stupid?
You're going to stand there in front of all of these parents, and you're going to say, let's support Coach Dozier, get these parents out of his life.
I think it would be far better and far more effective if those cheerleaders, instead of telling me something I already know, which is go down the field and score a touchdown. I've never been more embarrassed in my life the first time I heard that. And this year when I talked to Bill Sweetman, and I also got a hold of the cheer mother. The girls have this cheer mother. She's a parent.
Yeah. This is like with a parent that helps out?
Yeah. She's not a member of the staff. She's a cheer mother. Jackie Glass. And I said to Jackie, I said, what are you teaching them? And she said, what do you mean? I said, what is this go get a touchdown? I said, do I look that stupid? And she turns around and just walks away from me. And, of course, the word comes down that she thinks I'm some kind of a squirrel. And what did I do? All I said was, why don't you pull your head out of your you-know-what? And that's the other thing. See, as I know that...
You know, we're not even talking about the presidential debate, and we got to get to this.
I apologize, but I
think this is very important, Phil.
I think that you guys have brought up a topic that is so out of left field, and it bears no... It has no relationship with reality.
But, Phil, you're not a high school coach. I'm not telling you how to do your job.
No, but I'm just telling you, man. You're taking it all wrong. Nobody is trying to say you are a crap can coach because the cheerleaders are yelling touchdown, touchdown.
Well, then why are they saying it?
It is their way of saying, yes, we know that you're trying to get a touchdown, and we're just trying to support you.
Well, that's bullcrap.
It doesn't seem that way if they're saying touchdown, touchdown, but it would be a much more effective cheer if they said, leave him alone and go back up into the stands or something like that.
What kind of a cheer are you going to do? All right, we're going to be taking a break here. We'll be back.
You know what I'll do is I'll work on one. How's that? I mean, you're always asking me to embarrass myself.
Gray, I don't think you should have to do that.
No, it's fine. I'll work on one, Phil, and I'll make an ass out of myself again so you can sit there with Bud and look at him. He's laughing.
Dad, I can't wait to see this.
He's already laughing.
Fine. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth I would not is a bitch.
No,
the Phil
Hendry
Show.
They want to see me make an ass of myself.
I wouldn't do it. I think that you're a fine one.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Now, we're online at philhendryshow.com, and with a backstage pass, you can access hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of hours of archive material, as well as our nightly videocast, as well as our videocast archive. Now, you should know that this week, we become iPhone and iPad compatible, so that you can watch our videocasts. Let's say you're having breakfast, and, oh, I can't watch Phil, he's on too late. And I'd much rather watch Phil, if I can keep my food down, while I'm having my breakfast.
Keep your food down.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you like that.
Okay, man, it was funny. I don't have to act like a jackass.
It was funny!
Okay, don't yell it.
I thought it was very self-effacing, very funny.
Thank you. So if you can keep your food down, you can watch our video cast in the morning while you're having breakfast. You can watch it on your iPhone, I'm talking about, right? You can watch our video cast while you are taking the subway to work if you live in a city with a subway.
Yeah, you can watch it on your way in a car.
No, you cannot. I don't want you using a mobile device in the car. It's against the law in the state of California and other Californias and other things, okay? It's against the law in the states of these here United States of America.
You don't know if it's illegal in all states.
Are you sure of that?
I don't know the states. I mean, it's illegal here and in most states that I know of. It's illegal to use a mobile device as the driver of a car. I got a ticket for it. Did I tell you about it?
No, you did not. Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear. Is Vernon there? Would you get Mr. Dozier up on the line, please? What is that?
Turn that off. Is that Dave Mason, bud?
Yeah, I like that record.
Well, don't listen to it now, man. Do you mind? Hey, Vernon?
Yeah, right here.
I was going to tell everybody a story, and I'm sorry. Vernon Dozier is with us, the head football coach, and as well as a member of the faculty and the board at Belmar Academy. I was driving someplace. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I made a very poor decision. I said, "Oh, I want to get a picture of this, and I'm going to message it to a friend of mine." And the picture I wanted to get was of the traffic on the 101 going into town.
Why did you need a picture of that?
Because it was a very busy, it was traffic, a very heavy traffic day. It was a Saturday, and I think it was Carmageddon or the Carmageddon 2.
Yeah, Carmageddon 2. What a bunch of baloney, man! Carmageddon.
Hold on for a minute, man. I'm not done. Anyway, make a long story short, I lift the camera up to snap the picture, and I just, for whatever reason, I turned and looked to my right, and there was a California Highway Patrol cop staring at me with a look on his face like, "You gotta be kidding, man. I can't believe you did, you know."
Oh, well, you got caught dead to rights, huh?
You talk about dead to rights. I mean, the guy looked at me like, "Whoa, you really want $300 worth, don't you?" And
what does that mean, $300 worth?
I don't think you should tell her, Mr. Henry.
Why?
I think it's very...
I think you gotta tell her.
Well, now I demand to know. What does it mean that you really want $300 worth?
It's a line from the movie Dirty Harry, where the villain in the film, Scorpio, he's like a killer, a serial killer, and Dirty Harry is chasing him.
Yes.
Well, this Scorpio feels like he's being chased and harassed by this cop, so he decides to frame Dirty Harry... frame him by making it appear that Dirty Harry beat him up.
Okay.
So he goes to some guy, and I guess there are people who do these kinds of things, probably still.
Well, you better believe there's people who do these kinds of things. I'll tell you what, if it was a little more lucrative, I would, you know.
Well, what is it?
Okay, well, he goes to a guy and gives him $300 to beat him up.
To beat him up?
Yeah, but he beats his face in until his face looks all scrunched up.
Yeah, he beats him pretty bad. And at one point, you know, the camera flashes on this dude's face. It's just all just mashed in. And
well, what is funny about that?
Margaret, that's not funny. It's the application of the line. Because after he beats this guy up, he looks at him and says, actually, it's right at the beginning when he gets the money. He says, "You really want $300 worth?" And the guy goes, "Every penny."
Yeah, he says a real gay. I mean, I don't mean to say gay, but he says a real light like that.
Yeah, he goes, "Every penny."
Well, was he gay?
No. I mean...
Oh, so you think he was gay because he was weird?
No. There was no hint of sexuality about this guy at all. He was a mental case. He was a loner. He was a serial murderer. He was a sicko. You know, and this was during the Zodiac fear that was going on, so they made this movie. Anyway, make a long story short, the guy says, "You really want $300 worth?" has come to represent on our show... Boy, you're really asking for it, you know.
Yeah, that's all it means, Ms. Gray. It's not,
Well, anyway, would you please get to the point here about why you are an Obama supporter?
Why I'm an Obama supporter, Phil, is very simple, and I say this to the men that are listening. I say this to any man that has a wife. I say this to any man that has a girlfriend. I say this to any man with a daughter. And I say this to any man who's already heard Ms. Gray. I think she very well characterized this. I'm going to try and put it in terms that men will understand. I was a Mitt Romney supporter, and I was a Republican supporter until I had my discussion with Ms. Gray, and I looked at the facts anew, and I think this is what we need to do sometimes. And I'll tell you something right now, and you can take this to the bank. Any guy that gets elected president of the United States, governor of a state, senator of a state, or any other States that thinks he's going to tell my wife or my girl or whoever it is what she's going to do with her, you know, private part, private residence. I call it the private residence just to keep it clean.
What is it?
I call it a woman's private quarters.
Private quarters.
Okay.
What, does that make me some kind of a freak? I'm trying to clean it up.
No, that's fine.
Anyway, any man who's running for president thinks he's going to tell my wife what to do with hers. I got news for you, friend. You just best keep right on moving. Just keep right on driving, buddy. Just drive right on by my house, okay? Because we don't want no business from you. Just go on right back on down the road you came down from, okay? Because we've seen your kind before, and we don't need you down here in the... You know, if I was in the holler, we don't need your kind down here in the holler.
Well, don't say holler, because it's not... Essentially, what he's saying is...
I don't need you to explain it.
Yes, she does, because you're way over the top. Essentially, you're saying you're not going to vote for Mitt Romney because he's invading a woman's private... her genitalia.
Can you say that? I didn't know.
You can say that, yes.
All right, that's exactly right. And I don't want Mitt Romney shoving his...
Okay, I think we got the point. And you feel electing or voting for Romney is voting for a guy who's going to have access to your wife's...
Yes, exactly. And no thank you. Now, some guys may think that's okay. Some guys may want their wife to go ahead and put the legs in the stirrup, and in comes Dr. Romney. Guess what? I'm not one of them. Okay?
Well, I think that's a very courageous decision, Vernon. And that's why I wanted you on the program tonight to articulate... There's that word again, bud. Articulate to the men that are listening that point of view.
Well, there are ways of looking at this. I suppose that's one of them. The other way is to simply say that any political issue that involves a woman making, you know, that involves taking a choice away from a woman when it comes to something like that is wrong.
All right, who understands that? You just gave it a big, long-winded... description that bored everyone to death within seconds. But what I said is, I don't mean anything, Phil, but what I just said keeps. Now see, I have a problem. Every time I'm thinking about the word vagina, I can say the word, but I...
What?
I can't.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Do I have to stay? Because I'm...
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So I think we got the general idea there from Vernon. Thank you very much, Coach Dozier, for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. What else do we have going on here, man?
Well, we're talking about a debate.
What do you want me to say about the debate?
You were talking before the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my only thing about debates, and that's what I was going to say, this presidential election... I refuse to get crazy. You know, all of my life, from the time before I could vote, I was always involved in discussing the politics of America. I found it fascinating. I was fascinated by the discussions my mother and father would have. I was fascinated by the polarizing in American politics that happens. I was fascinated by the two parties, the two basic approaches, which when I was a kid, this is what it represented. The Democrats were a bunch of people that gave money away and were soft on crime and soft on America's enemies. That's the house that I grew up in. And the Republicans believed in self-reliance and education and, you know, although it was very ironic to hear my father talking about education, public education, which he had a quote from Thomas Jefferson that he actually had printed up. And my old man he might have been a typical immigrant father. When I say he was an immigrant, he was from Canada. And he became an American citizen within the first, you know, 5 years of you have to be here 5 years. That's how it worked back then. I don't know, you know. But he was a Canadian, so
Yeah, as a Canadian, look like American anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to find out about, like, in Arizona, how they know if you're Canadian.
What did you say?
He's talking about...
I'll do it. How do they know... Did they pull over Canadian?
No, they didn't pull over Canadian. They don't look different.
Do they pull over Canadians? What do you mean?
Well, Phil, if a police officer pulls over a Hispanic person...
Well, that's not quite how the law is not saying pull them over if you think they're Mexicans. The law says you have the right to ask about and check on their status as American citizens. Now, a lot of people said that's going to lead to a kind of profiling whereby cops will look around and go, aha, look at that. That looks like a Mexican to me. Let's pull them over. But they have to have a reason why they're pulling you over.
Yeah, because they think you're Mexican.
That's not against the law to be a Mexican.
It's against the law to be in a country illegally.
Yeah, but see, there we get to that problem. Hey, why did you pull me over? Because you may be in this country illegally. What gives you that idea? You look like a Mexican. Now, that leads to all kinds of charges from the Hispanic community as to racial profiling and the right. Because if that's what you guys are saying, if you're saying, well, I pulled him over, I thought he might be illegal. Why is that? He looked Hispanic, and it's in a part of town where there's a lot of illegals, so therefore I made the judgment. Okay. Because he looked Hispanic, right. And what do Canadians look like? Well, I don't understand what you mean. What I mean by that is, how do you look for or otherwise profile in the process of doing your job looking for illegal people, how do you look for Canadians? Or do you look for Canadians? Well, that'd be a little bit more difficult. Oh, a little bit more difficult. So you just kind of give them a pass, right?
Yeah, that you'd have to give them a pass. Plus, Canadians, well, I'm not saying, I don't want to say anything racial, but...
Well, you're going to say Canadians don't commit violent acts.
Not as much.
How do you know that, man? You don't know.
Bud, what a stupid thing to say. I mean, I'm not trying to indict either our Canadian or our Mexican fellow citizens of the continent, but...
Why are you waving your hands like that?
Like what?
You're waving your hands like you're a bird. You're going...
Yeah, like you're trying to take off.
Yes, like you're trying to take off.
I'm making a point to my friend Bud here. Is it okay?
Go ahead.
God. Margaret, you are the most nitpicky person.
You're sitting there flapping your arms, Phil, like...
I'm trying to say you look a little light.
Yes, you look like a queen ready to get his hair done going, oh.
Well, then that's what I look like, and I'll take my chances.
Fine.
Did that bother you, Bud?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So, in other words, now I forgot what I was talking... Would you guys shut up while I finish making a point?
The point you were trying to make, and I don't like being told to shut up either.
Well, I'm sorry, then don't butt in, okay?
Don't butt in? The point you were trying to make, Phil, was that there is no way that you should or could or would profile individuals based upon their nationality or race. Therefore, suspecting someone is an illegal is not really a valid reason for a police officer to pull someone over unless they have information to that specific thing.
Such as if they had in their possession proof that that person was not a citizen, and perhaps this was an ongoing investigation. But just to pull a guy over saying, well, he looks like a Mexican, is not sufficient cause. And it's not sufficient cause to pull somebody over and say, well, they look Canadian. And then, of course, I have to ask the girl, what the hell does a Canadian look like? So you are at an unfair disadvantage, or, you know, it's an unfair... thing to be Mexican driving on the street in the state of Arizona if there's a cop out there saying, aha, he looks Mexican, I'm going to pull him over, because it is not a fair, it's not reasonable suspicion. It's not a reasonable suspicion, and that is the thing. All right.
What thing?
That's the thing, man.
What do you mean by thing?
That's the point. That's the point.
Okay.
God. All right, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Art Griego is at the Santa Monica Airport, and we're going to be talking with Art here in our next quarter hour about this very issue that we've been talking about, which is the illegal question. And Art, as a pilot, as well as a longtime commercial airline pilot, has had some occasion to deal in this area. Not as he wasn't bringing illegals over himself, but he's being in the airline industry and flying internationally. I suppose he's you know, been aware of and seen his incidents of stowaways or other people trying to enter the country illegally. And we're going to hear his perspective on this as well as some other issues in this presidential campaign. Our number is 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. We also wanted to get a little bit of a take on, is he now?
Yeah, I got him on the phone now.
Okay, let me get over to Art Griego. Art, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me on the program. I wanted to comment on the Mitt Romney question that the other caller had raised.
Okay.
It was, first of all, it was amusing to me to hear that caller have a problem with the word. The word, because I'm a gentleman.
Are you talking about the when he said genitalia?
Well, he had a problem with a woman, the woman word.
Vagina?
Yes, vagina. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because if we're going to be adults and we're going to talk about what the Republican presidential candidate that Romney represents, which is in fact a threat to a woman's reproductive rights, then I think we have to grow up a little bit and use these words. They don't have to be used in a sexual context.
That, well, you know what, Art, that is exactly what I've been saying.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Who are you?
My name is Margaret Gray. You don't know who I am?
Not, I'm sorry, not really.
I should have introduced, and I did not.
Well, no, I don't think there should be any need to it. You've never heard of me.
I'm sorry, ma'am. No, I haven't.
Well, what? Okay.
Well, why should I have heard of her?
Margaret's been on my show a lot. Is that...
I do a nationally syndicated... Never mind.
I apologize, ma'am. I probably should not have said I've never heard of you. I just... But I haven't. I...
Well, okay, but can I say something? I've never heard of you.
Okay, I'm sure that that's true.
Well, what are you shrugging your shoulders for, Phil?
I don't think it matters a lot to some people whether they've been heard of or not.
And because it matters to me, I'm what? A bitch?
I didn't say that, Margaret.
No, ma'am, this is Art Griego. I'm not saying that. I apologize. I'd never heard. I should have introduced myself, and it was very rude of me to say, who are you?
Well, I agree with you on that call. Yes, it was. To say, who are you? Because I do have a lot of people listening to me that have heard of me. And when you say, who are you, all you do is make yourself look like, I guess, almost a pig, you know?
I understand, yes. So,
Go ahead, Art. So, the word vagina is absolutely, should be used in this context because, as you were saying, we're having an adult discussion here about the Republicans and Mitt Romney in particular being invasive here.
I don't think it's right to say Republicans.
All right, bud, we'll get your opinion in a minute, but we're talking here to Art Griego. I take it you agree with Mr. Dozier?
I absolutely do agree from this standpoint that if we're talking about the reproductive rights of women, we've got to grow up a little bit and use the word vagina in the sense... Oh, boy.
Are you all right?
What's going on?
Oh, I got a problem. As I say, we should have the maturity to use that word, and I have a problem. I've had a problem using explosive, sexually charged words. I have a problem. Hold on.
Are you okay?
What's going on?
All right, I have a problem getting air. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. And I'm on your program tonight to talk about this as an adult, and I apologize to your listeners, but I'm not going to let this slow me up. I agree with Vernon Dozier and Ms. Gray that the reproductive rights of American women are at risk as long as people are endorsing and counting on Mitt Romney to be president, because, as Ms. Gray said, it is Mitt Romney putting his hands into the vagina of America.
Well, I don't understand this. Are you having a hard time breathing?
I have a hard time breathing when I use a sexually charged word.
But we're not using the word in that sense.
I understand. But unfortunately, I'm thinking of it in that sense, and I'm trying
Well, that's not very mature. Mr. Griego, we're having a discussion that could affect generations of American women, their reproductive rights, their ability to control their own bodies. So this has nothing to do with sex. This has to do with the government controlling the bodies of women. In states like Virginia, women have already lost their rights to themselves. Why any woman still lives in the state of Virginia is almost, I can't conceive of it.
Well, what's going on in Virginia?
Well, there's a lot of laws that have been passed in Virginia. There's also a law that, there's a law that's been passed in Virginia that they can't get a building permit, or there's some kind of building code that restricts the building of a clinic if it is a woman's health clinic or provides abortions.
All right, and again, that goes to the issue of women owning their own bodies. And I concur 100% with both you and Ms. Gray. Let me just take a breath.
Does this have to do with talking about women's bodies, or?
No, I agreed with Phil about the word vagina. That is what.
Whoa, you know what, man? I'm going to let you go.
No, I'm all right. Okay, I'm okay. I had to take a couple of deep breaths.
What is the problem? Are you losing air when you say the word vagina?
Yes, because I sexualize it and I immediately think of...
sex.
Yes, sir. And that is an immature response.
Absolutely.
So when I say vagina, I'm thinking about a woman's reproductive rights. I'm thinking about a woman's reproductive rights. Oh, boy, that's a bad one there. When I said I'm thinking about reproductive rights, I started thinking about sex more than ever.
Okay, I cannot have you on the air. It's scaring me, and I think you need to call a doctor or an ambulance or something.
No, I'm...
Are you lightheaded? Do you feel as if you're not getting enough air?
Oh, I know I'm not getting enough air because I'm choking. What a question.
Well, if you're not getting enough air, you shouldn't be on the radio with us.
Oh, I'm going to defeat this. Just as Mr. Dozier defeated this.
I don't want you here.
Phil, the word vagina is a clinical word. Oh, wait a minute. Don't hang up on me.
Well, it's disgusting.
Help me, please. Help me. Okay.
You know what?
Oh, come on, Phil. Grow the...
That was... I'm glad you hung up on him.
Call... Is he...
Yeah, you disconnected him, you boob. But I didn't mean to call you boob.
Call me boob. Call him back and apologize. We got to take a break. We're way late for the break. 877-876. Is that him?
Go ahead and talk to him.
Mr. Griego.
Boy, I just said the word vagina like 6 times in a row, and I thought maybe... No.
You know what? Find out where he is and get an ambulance over there, will you? For crying out loud.
Well, I think he's okay now.
Oh, he sounds just great. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Of all the disgusting...
The Phil Hendry Show.
Is he what?
Is he doing that on purpose? Because when I said that Mitt Romney had his hand...
Yeah, do a book or something.
I'm not going to do a book. I was talking to during the break to our close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, as well as Ms. Gray and Mr. Dickman. Robert, you don't care to talk about it, huh?
No, I don't care, man.
Okay.
Yeah, why? You want to be fat?
I ain't fat, man. Ha ha, I ain't fat.
Yeah, you still could be.
Whatever. Give him a break, will you? We're talking about me, bud. And talking about, you know, I'm getting down to my target weight now. I'm at 215. I got 5 pounds to go, man. 5 pounds.
You're not going to make it by Halloween, though.
I can't believe this, man. I'm like 2 months over my goal. And I truly believe that I didn't, you know, and I have not broken my diet at all.
No, you have. But the one thing you're not doing is you're not exercising enough.
Yeah, you burn all that off if you exercise.
I thought you were bored with the topic.
Yeah, no kidding. Now you're all butting in and everything.
I'm a right to my free speech of the Constitution, too.
Well, this isn't a... Yes, you do, Robert. You have, you know, but, you know, don't... You also have the right to be ridiculed for saying I'm not interested in it. Now you're giving me all this advice. Look, here's the point. You're right. Margaret's right. I've reached this point. My metabolism is at a point now where it is getting more and more comfortable with 2,000 calories a day. So it's not burning the calories off as fast. So 2 weeks and I've lost 2 pounds. You know, that's not at the rate that I want to go. So I have to step the exercise up even more.
Well, even if it's daily.
Yeah, if it's daily, it's going to be daily, you know.
See, right there, you had your hand up in the air like you're all Thomas Washington or whatever.
Who, Thomas Washington? You think that's a president?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
His name was Thomas Jefferson, bud.
Well, you had your hand up in the air all, hey, 4 score in 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's Abraham Lincoln.
How do you know?
Because I stayed awake in school.
Yeah, not during talk English class, though.
Would you shut up, both of you guys?
He's all, I stayed awake in school.
Well, at least he knew who Abraham Lincoln was.
Well, I hope so, and I don't mean anything racist, okay?
Yeah, every time you say that, man, you do.
No, but I'm saying if you're black, you should know who Abraham Lincoln is.
Everybody should know who Abraham Lincoln is.
Why don't you do a commercial for the movie, why don't you?
Hey, bud. Everybody should know who Abraham Lincoln is. Don't give me this bull crap. Don't be stupid. Everybody. Thank God, man, we've got movies about Abraham Lincoln. Thank God there are people making movies about these historic events. And Steven Spielberg. You know, I was thinking about him the other day, Margaret. I got to say, and I never thought I'd say this about Steven Spielberg. I know he made popular movies. I understand that. And I know he made movies that I went to see and loved. I loved Steven Spielberg movies. But... if somebody wanted to say to me or ask me, would you call him a great filmmaker, 20 years ago, I would have said no.
Why?
Because he had not yet made Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, Abraham Lincoln, and these kinds of films.
Yeah, what about Amistad? You said that stunk it out.
Amistad was not his strongest effort, but... you know, he let the material get away from him on that, I think, but it was still an interesting film. It was interesting to look at. It was interesting to sort of... It got me interested in the history of that incident. But Spielberg has become really a great filmmaker, and not just because he makes really good movies. Like, Saving Private Ryan's probably one of the best World War II movies you're ever going to see. It's a film that took into... it's a film that embraced the reality of war like no other movie. But what I think is important about Steven Spielberg is the subject matter that he's tackling. The historics, if he wasn't making these movies, who the hell was going to make them?
Well, Martin Scorsese did make The Gangs of New York.
That movie blew all kinds of primate.
York? Oh, my God.
Well, if you want to talk about it, we can.
Oh, sure, if you still have a job when we come back.
Oh, well. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's right. Mr. Scorsese's going to call up and get me fired.
You actually said what you just said.
Yes, I did.
Woo! Oh, my God. I'm having palpitations.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, don't come out of here.
Yes, just as fate would have it, I wanted to give a heads up to a couple of the questions we've had. When's the Skippy and Frank? Anyway, welcome back to the show. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. Welcome to our program. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and as you see in the background, as the light comes up, so it then descends. As light comes up, so it then descends. And if you don't have Phil TV in HD, you are missing what we have. Our outdoor camera is illuminating the universe. It's too heavy, man.
It's very lovely, but you're making people think you're taking some kind of a psychotropic.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you're all sounding like you're probably shouldn't. You're in. You got a chemical dependence.
No.
No, I don't sound like I got a chemical. Anyway, forget it. Get a backstage pass to the world famous Phil Henry Show, and you'll check out and see what's up.
How you doing that anyway?
That's on our. I'm not going to tell you, but we have a background right now as I'm talking. Behind me shows the ever illuminating morning sky. Okay, so. On our webpage, philhenryshow.com, there is a place where you can get a backstage pass and listen not only to this show, because we have the podcast of this show delivered to you each day, the next day. Huh? We also are starting up a Milwaukee Lion podcast. And by that, I mean each week, the full game will be delivered to our subscribers as well. Now, we are going to have a highlight podcast that will be free on iTunes. But that will just be highlights. The full game will be available to our subscribers at philhenryshow.com. And in any event, that's where that's at. So get a backstage pass. You'll enjoy it. Join us over at Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans, spelled P-H-A-N-S. And also on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. You'll be glad that you did. Now, the question that I had from a listener was this, Phil, when are the Skippy and Frank podcasts coming back? Skippy and Frank are going to be back. They were supposed to be back last Friday, but the workload around here has gotten excruciating. I'm telling you.
Phil, why don't you hire some help?
Hire? What do you mean? Who's going to do me? I can't. I got to do what I do. Man's got to do what a man's got to do, you know?
All right. Well, don't. Do your Jack Nicholson and Hoffa.
All right, I'm not doing that, but I'm just telling you, how hire help. What help am I going to hire? I'm the guy that does the work around here.
You got to gotta sound like you, I guess.
Yeah, some of them do that.
Who?
Didn't you see the guy that did Daffy Duck?
The guy that did Daffy Duck had his son, Mel Blanc Jr., do the voice, okay?
What about your son?
Oh, sure. I'm going to train all those guys to sound like me. No, I'm not going to do that, okay? Besides, I don't think that's been their lifelong dream. For Mel Blanc's kid, it was a way to, I don't know. I don't know how he did that. Do you know, Margaret?
No, all I know is that Mel Blanc did the voices, and then his son decided, well, this is a way that I can slip right into the old man's shoes, even while he's on his deathbed, and...
Wait a second! He didn't say that!
No, but I'm imagining that he did.
Yeah, that's a very nice thought. Good Lord.
Oh, Phil, I'm trying to just accept the world as it is.
Well, you don't know how the world is when it comes to those kinds of things. I think that's a hell of a thing to say. Nonetheless, the workload has gotten a little crazy, so I was not able to get the Skippy and Frank podcast going last Friday. Believe me when I tell you that it is going to happen, and I'm certain that it's going to happen this week, okay? I mean, am I as certain of that as I am of the following statement? No. And the following statement is this, that the... Apple compatibility for your iPhone and for your iPad will be happening this week. The Phil Henry Show website will provide on-demand video that will be compatible with iPhone and with iPad. So that is a cool thing. We've been looking forward to that. And we've gone through a lot of testing, and we wanted to make sure that this was a system that we wanted to use, and we do. And so, not the system, but the company. And so that is going to be happening this week. So if you want to fire up our video cast from last night, you want to fire up our video cast, whether you're watching it at lunch or at breakfast, and you can't stay up late, I understand that, you can now do that. Will it be available for live streaming? Now that is a very interesting question, and the answer to that question is no. We're not going to have live streaming available on Apple products other than, it will only be available as it is now on your desktop, and here's why. At present, our business model calls for this. We're not necessarily willing to do it for live streaming because we don't think that the traffic that we get at night for the live streaming would bear it. And even if it did,
Well, what if you got all of these thousands of people that wanted to watch at night because you had that?
If that's the case. Look, I can tell you this much. It's very feasible, and we want to do it. But right now, the business model that we're working with, we're going to roll this out in steps, and that's just the way it's going to be, we're also looking forward. So this is going to be, like I said, it's going to be very exciting next 6 months, man, because not only are we having now for our subscribers who have iPad and iPhone, now they will be able to see on demand our video casts. But we're also going to be making available to our subscribers a mobile version of our website, as well as an app that will be applicable. You can use to bring up different characters and different types of shows and different shows. So that's all happening within the next few months, not a year from now, the next few months. And again, I'm really excited because we're in a partnership with LEG, Levity Entertainment Group, and they're great people, and they have been very, very helpful. And we're, quite frankly, we're lucky to have them in our corner.
Called LEG.
LEG, yeah, great guys. All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we had a nice little discussion there of, Vernon Dozier, or whoever that was. That was Art Griego, right?
That was Art Griego, was not able to say that word.
Okay, Steve Bozell was on the line with us last week. We want to bring Steve back on because a similar problem he had with the word boob, and I don't know whether you still... Hi, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good.
Do you still have that problem?
No, it was. It's interesting. I never had a problem saying a word like that. It's a fairly innocuous word, but because I was on the radio with you, and I had not had experience talking on a radio and talking to as many people, that I started to freeze up when I said a controversial word like boob. Or what I thought was controversial,
Right, and it's not, is it?
It's a very benign word, and I knew it was very benign, but you'd be surprised at what the mind interprets as something that is filthy. Christmas time is coming up, and the word jingle, which is what we say in the song Jingle Bells, sounds like a racist word if you think about it, the N-word. And for the longest time, I had a hard time saying jingle.
Because it reminded you of the N-word?
Yes, it did. And it probably sounds a little unusual.
What is this, a phobia, Steve?
I don't know. I've had doctors tell me that they've been... They've treated people who've had similar kinds of conditions. It's not so much a phobia as it is more along the lines of a... it's related more, Phil and Margaret, to a Tourette's.
Well, what does that mean? Like a neurological?
Yes, sir. No, more neurological than it is a psychological.
But it only happens with certain words?
Yes, sir. So... But I've heard doctors say it doesn't have anything to do with psychology. It has to do with the synapse pronouncing certain words.
But you have said that you had a hard time with that word jingle because it reminded you of a racial slur, so you couldn't say that word. How did you break yourself of the fear?
Well, I had to begin to apply it to something else, and that's what the doctors told me. Instead of thinking about this word, think about that word. Instead of it reminding you of this, it should remind you of something else. I broke my inability to say the word boob by simply thinking that a boob is also a stupid person or somebody who's a silly person.
I was going to suggest that, yes.
Exactly. I broke my fear of saying the word jingle by simply saying that sounds more... Well, and as a result, I had a harder time, but it sounds more like something you might do after you get finished, I don't know if I'm making myself...
No, I don't.
Get finished with what?
Well, men, when they get finished doing a certain thing, going to the bathroom, have to shake off. And so I started thinking of shaking off, and that broke me up. But I have a hard time now saying ting.
What do you have a hard time with?
I have ting, pinky.
Okay, what are you saying?
That's just it. I can't say that word, and I can't say another one, which is a Disneyland character. I can't say it.
Well, what does the word represent?
The word represents a man going to the toilet.
The word represents... So you had a hard time with the word jingle because it reminded you of a racial epithet, but once you decided that the word jingle was more in keeping with men going to the bathroom...
Yes, sir.
You were able to say jingle But now there's another word you can't say. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And what is the... You know what the word is, but you can't tell us?
I could spell it. If you want me to direct message you.
Yeah, you know what my direct message is.
Yes, sir. But it also is a... Well, I don't have that.
Can you give him my direct message on Google, Bud?
Yeah, it's...
Don't tell him here.
I can't say T, and I can't say the Disneyland.
You can't say the Disneyland. What is...
Oh, here it is.
Did you get it? Tinkle and Tinkerbell.
Yeah. Now, don't ask me why, but I have a psychological, or not a psychological, but a Tourette syndrome block to Tinkle.
What? Okay, forget about... Try saying Tinkerbell.
That one... Oh, that's tough. Okay.
Well, let's just pretend like Tinkerbell is... What is the story?
I don't know.
Well, let's say Tinkerbell is at Cinderella's castle or something.
Okay, I'm going to go down to Cinderella's castle. I'm going to go down to Cinderella's castle and see Tinkerbell. Shoot. That's tough.
I've never heard of a problem like the one you have.
That's what
I mean, sorry, I forgot I was on the phone. That's what everybody says. Everyone says that. They say, I've never heard of a problem like you have. I've never heard of it. It makes me feel like a freak.
Well, Steve, you're not a freak, but it is very unusual. You can't say Tinkle. Why can't you say that? What does it remind you of?
Well, it reminds me of just, you know, peeing all over someone. And
what's... Okay, that's a disgusting thing.
No, that's just it. It's not... To me, it's not.
To you, that's not disgusting.
No, ma'am. And forgive me.
Is it exciting?
Yes, ma'am.
Why Tinkerbell?
Because... I imagine... because I imagine myself... Okay, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to say something bad. Because I imagine myself with...
With Tinkerbell?
Yeah.
And you're doing that to Tinkerbell?
Yes, sir. And I know that a lot of people are probably laughing or what have you.
Well, we have to take a break. Dan just told me to break, and this is probably a good time to break.
I apologize, sir.
No, it's okay. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I thought Mr. Bozell had...
Well, you said he'd broken himself of some habit.
Yes, similar to that guy that couldn't breathe when he said vagina.
I don't know. The whole thing freaks me out. It's pretty far out.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Tanker. Hendry Show.
Tanker. Tackerbell.
All right, hold on for a minute, Steve. On the line with me, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We're talking with Steve about last hour. We had Art Griego on the line with us, who had a bit of a similar problem. As we were talking about Mitt Romney and the what is perceived to be a Republican Party war on women. I don't know if I would take it that far. However, there are pretty outrageous things happening in this country in terms of a lot of the things that women have won the right to. To have, to access, etc. It was difficult for Mr. Griego to say the word vagina without losing air.
I heard that, and I'm very sorry for him.
Okay, but you're with us now, and we brought you on because you'd had a similar problem with the word boob. And what I'm trying to say here is that there was a sort of an immaturity on the part of a lot of men with these words because they were sexualized and they didn't think of them in the context of a woman's rights, a woman's body, and the larger issues having to do with medical care and so on.
That is correct, Mr. Henry. And by the way, I just want to thank you for playing John Anderson.
Well, you had called up. You said you wanted to hear that in a commercial break?
Yes, sir. I like John Anderson a lot. And I did break my fear, not phobia, I should say, it was a Tourette-like or neurological disturbance relative to the kind of
syllables and the rhythm of the word boob, which I know sounds very childish, but I could not say that word.
Right, but you did break your inability to say that by thinking of it in terms of a stupid person.
Yes, sir. What happened then, within 6 months, I encountered a difficult word, and that word was jingle from the little children's song, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle All the Way. Oh, what fun it is to ride, and so on. That's a song that was a Christmas favorite, and I could not say jingle because the word sounded too close to a racially offensive word. So I started to relate it instead to going to the bathroom, and which is that word that I can't say now.
Tinkle.
Yes.
All right. I don't know how we can break you of, but I thought of, you can't say Tinkerbell either, right?
That is correct, because the...
Is it because the consonants are similar?
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray. Is it because the consonant sounds are similar?
Yes. I mean, the ding, ding, I can't do it, but...
What if you take a deep breath?
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm working up to it. I have to just get my mind clear and clean. I got to clean my mind out, clean my mind out, clean it out, clean it up, clean it up, clean it up. I can't do it.
What if you used a word that sounded like, instead of saying Tinkerbell, Taco Bell?
I can say Taco Bell, yeah. Taco Bell, yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, that works.
Well, he's not going to say Taco Bell.
Well, you can say Taco Bell as an approximation to Tinkerbell, can't you?
Yes, sir, I can. Oh, thank God. Oh, boy. I know it's not just being tingly, tiddly, be. It's not, I can't say that, but I can say Taco Bell. And so I could say Taco Bell, like Taco Bell and Peter Pan, you know. And, man, thank God. Thank God. Oh, thank God.
It's really scary, isn't it?
It really is, because you, all of a sudden your words are not yours, you know. And
But when you say, you don't feel silly saying that.
No, I can say, like in the nursery rhyme, a Taco Bell and blah, 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 blah. Oh, shoot. I just said it. Taco Bell and poo. Poo.
You can't say Peter Pan?
No. No, I've transferred it. Yeah, it's transference.
I've never heard of this ailment when you...
But, ma'am, I'm not lying to you.
Margaret, let's let him just, you know, let's accept him at face value, okay?
Yeah, this is a case of transference. I transferred the fear of tinkle to the fear of oh, now I can say tinkle. Oh, God, that's great.
So you've transferred the fear of tinkle. This does sound kind of silly.
This is the stupidest conversation I ever heard. A guy have a fear of tinkle.
I don't have a fear of that. I don't have fear of doing it. I have a fear of the... I have a fear of the... I don't want to sound like I've got filth, like I've got a sewer running through my head in place of my mind, that's all.
You don't sound that way, but you have a fear of that, and so you can say tinkle. Can you say Tinkerbell?
Tinklebell. No, I'm still having a problem. It's better, though. Tinklebell, Tinklebell. I'm saying Tinklebell. I'll still say Tinker. I'll say Taco Bell, because that way I'll people will not look at me. If I say Tinkerbell, I'll probably get assaulted.
Well, I think right now you sound like an idiot, and I'm sorry if it is a neurologic ailment, or as you say, Tourette related. But having to go through all of these ridiculous motions just to be able to say the word tinkle or Tinkerbell, I think it's ridiculous.
Well, ma'am, you should only have the problem, you know.
All right, so you're fine with... what can you say?
I can't say Peter Pan, Putapo.
Can't say Peter Pan?
What?
You can't say Peter Pan?
No, I can't say Peter Pan. I can say Tinkle Bell, and I can say Taco Bell. Well, Mr. Henry, I got to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
How long was this condition, this most recent condition?
About a year and a half. Oh, boy. Okay, so Cinderella and Tinkle Bell went to... I can't do it.
Well, we'll come up with a substitution for Peter Pan then for you. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
This is
Phil
ridiculous. Henry. Move on from this.
I'm helping this guy. Do you mind?
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we have with us Steve Bozell on the line from Corona, California, and we're going to get Debbie Daly up. Debbie does the national radio show, National Public Radio show, Daly's Daily. It's a morning show on National Public Radio. And Debbie, I know you were driving home tonight, and you heard this feature with Mr. Bozell. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good, Phil, and I wanted to say to Mr. Bozell that I am hearing impaired. That is, I am living on time because of my hearing.
Did you understand that?
You talking to me?
Yes, sir.
No, I didn't understand it.
She said that she does. She's hearing impaired. And that she was listening and was feeling sorry.
Mr. Bozell, I know you have a difficult time hearing me, but it's exciting that you're here. And I wanted to tell you that there's a combination of you and you.
Can I just jump in here?
Go ahead.
Is she on here as a comedy as a comedy act?
She's saying that she is hearing impaired. She does have, and we know Debbie. She's not on for comic relief, no, sir.
And why would you call up with somebody like? It sounds like they took a bus off the head.
She's saying, what do you think you sound like?
Okay, see, I knew that you were going to make a comedy act out of it. All right.
No, Mr. Bozell, it's a very good point. Why do you say that Debbie Daly sounds like she took a bus off the head and you're sitting here having a hard time with the words boob, jingle, tinker, tinkerbell, tinkle?
I told you I was up front.
She said she's not on here to mock you. Why are you mocking her?
Ma'am, I don't mean to mock you, but I believe, and I fervently believe, and I have to now state that I believe Mr. Hendry has brought you on the show as a part of a comedy routine to make...
No, I did not. She wants to help you.
She wants to help me. See, that's why I believe it's a comedy act, because how could she help me? Someone, it sounds like, she's still in the process of, well...
In the process of what?
It sounds like she's still swallowing. And she hasn't got...
Oh, my God. I don't want to listen to this. What a vile thing to say.
I'm trying to... God almighty. It sounds like you're still savoring it.
What are you talking about, okay? The lady called up to help out. Debbie, tell me. Right, you can't say Tinkerbell, it says Taco Bell. Substitution for Peter Pan. You know what? She just told me what a good substitution is for Peter Pan.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I don't think I'm going to tell you now.
What did she say?
She says she agrees with me, that you sound like an ass, that you've treated her very unkindly, and I won't give you the substitution.
Okay, I'm sorry. Please. I don't want to go through life...
She says you're vulgar, and you owe an apology.
I'm very sorry, ma'am. That's what it reminded me of, because my wife sometimes, and I shouldn't have said it.
She says your wife sometimes what?
She sounds like that when she hasn't, swallowed.
Boy, you got a mind on you, man. You're talking to a lady, you know that, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And that's what you just comes up out of your head, huh, to say to her?
I apologize.
Okay, Debbie, thank you very much. You drive carefully. Bye-bye. Debbie Daly, folks. Gee, you sound like you're in the process of swallowing.
I apologize. Would you please tell me?
Oh, so in other words, you're apologizing and everything because you just want to know what the substitute phrase is for Peter Pan.
I guess the best thing I could say now is, no, you don't have to tell me.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you anyway, okay, because you're having a problem here. But I really just want you to think about what a crude mind and a crude way of expressing yourself you have.
In other words, Mr. Bozell, you sound like you fit in around here.
That wasn't necessary.
I think it was.
Yeah, you gotta slam on us. We're trying to protect the lady.
Well, I heard Phil protecting a lady, not you.
Yeah, well, I agree with him.
All right. Steve?
Yes, sir.
So you were able to conquer your fear of the word boob by thinking of a stupid man and instead of a woman's breast, and you've been able to do that.
That's correct, yes, sir.
And you were able to, now we just were able to conquer your fear of the word tinker and tinkle by giving you Taco Bell instead of Tinker Bell. Is that it?
Well, yes, sir, and also that helped conquer tinkle. I was still under the power of Tinkle, and I know that sounds stupid.
Under the power of Tinkle. Man, you don't find no way to say that. Yeah.
All right, grow up. Meaning you could not say the word.
I couldn't say the word, I'm sorry. And now, when you gave me Taco Bell for Tinker Bell, it gave me hope. Hope that I can talk like a man, you know. And then I found out I can't say TV, BB.
Can't see Peter Pan.
Yeah, listen, he can say it, and he sounds like he's wrecked from the day he was born. From the day he was born, every chromosome got wrecked, and he gets to say Peter Pan, and I don't.
All right, well, don't bawl about it, okay?
You?
No, I wouldn't bawl about it. However, Debbie said instead of saying Peter Pan, say frying pan.
Frying pan. Yeah, Taco Bell and frying pan. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Frying pan, Taco Bell. And I'm thinking all about frying pan and Taco Bell. I'm thinking all about Wendy and Never Never Land and everything.
And you can say it.
Yes, sir, I can.
Say, like, you know, so what would they be doing?
What would who be doing?
Peter Pan and Tinker Bell.
Well, Taco Bell and frying pan went over to, you know, into the bedroom where the shoot.
Now what?
I can't think about Taco Bell and frying pan going into a kid's room.
Yeah, what would that do, man? He might make breakfast.
All right, get out of here, you guys.
Hey, man, I didn't do anything wrong.
You can't say went into Wendy's room or any of that stuff, huh?
No, sir. No, I feel dirty. I feel filthy thinking of Taco Bell and...
Taco Bell and frying pan went into the children's... Taco Bell and frying pan went into the... Chicken?
Chicken. Taco Bell and frying pan went into the chicken's room and tucked the chicken in for the night.
There you go. And then what did frying pan say to the, Peter Pan say to the children?
Well, frying pan said to chicken, you know, let's go fly to Never Never Land. So that's when frying pan and Taco Bell took a chicken and flew through the air with a chicken.
There you go.
That's what they did, right?
Sure, yeah. Peter Pan flew through the air with the children.
So then the chicken wanted to go back to,
Chicken wants to come home to roost!
Man, I hate you so much. I hate those people in that studio with you.
Would you shut up? So the Taco Bell and the frying... Peter Pan and Tinker Bell went flying through the air with the children.
Yeah, and then the chickens... Oh, that's stupid.
It does sound kind of dumb. You're going to have to work on it. What is it with you guys anyway? Can't a man have a problem without you guys turning it into a joke?
Are you putting me on, man? I got talking about frying pan and Taco Bell and the chicken. That got nothing to do with Peter Pan.
For once, I have to agree with them. I mean, he sounded more ridiculous talking that way than any other way. And you think you're doing a good deed.
Well, at least I've got the guy. I'm engaging him and conversing with him. I'm not mocking him and making fun of him. And Debbie, wherever you are, thank you for calling in with that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead and suck up to her.
Oh, a little bit of jealousy because she's got a radio show and you don't.
Phil, I would much rather be here than mumbling into a microphone every morning like she does. Yes, as Mr. Bozell said, as if she didn't finish swallowing. Thank you. I have to go to the toilet.
Real gutsy thing. Gutless thing, I should say.
It's not gutless.
It's gutless to say that and say then I got to go to the toilet.
What are you mad at?
What do you think I'm mad at? You people around here, you've got the manners of pigs. You talk like slobs.
At least I know the difference between Tinker Bell and Taco Bell.
Poor guy's got a problem, okay? I don't doubt that he has, you know, that's a serious problem and he needs to get it fixed. It doesn't mean that you cats have got to be bagging on him. It's ridiculous. Okay, want to let you know a couple of things. First of all, remember when you are on Twitter. We have our show quote of the day. What's the show quote today, Bud?
Twitter, the Phil Henry show quote.
Phil Henry show quote of the day on Twitter and on Facebook. What is it?
The one today is, I got to look it up.
I think it was the one today was, I forget too. But I do know that we featured a couple of R.C. Collins quotes of the show quotes of the day over the weekend. One of them was, you're just another son of a bitch in a long line of son of bitches, was one. And anyway, if you are retweeting, be sure to use the hashtag quote of the day, QOTD. That way, you know, people will be redirected back to the marvelous, wonderful world that you and I share over there on Twitter and on Facebook as well. We'll be back with the final segment of our show here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Make sure you check out as well tomorrow. We've got another podcast dropping. It's episode 57 of the Phil Henry Podcast. Get over to iTunes and download all of them. Collect all 56 what have dropped so far.
My brother.
And 57 dropping tomorrow.
Splash!
What a baby.
Splash!
Truth.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show.
Taco Bell and frying pan went down to with a chicken.
Can't do that.
All right, that's fine. But our show quotes of the day, as I mentioned, there you can find them both on our Facebook fan page as well as on Twitter. And for you BSPs, all of our backstage pass guys, you guys, we have our backstage pass, our BSP of the week, and we want to congratulate Bonnie up there in the state of Washington. Bonnie, I'm not saying your last name, not because you know you don't have a good last name. I can't pronounce it. Is it Kluwer or Kluwer?
I think it's like Clyde, well.
I believe, Phil, K-L-I-E-W-E-R, I think it is the Germanic.
Okay.
But she's going to say it all jacked up.
Excuse, would you mind?
Bud.
It is Kluwer, or not Kluwer, that's French. It would be more of the guttural Germanic, more of the Kluwer.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
What does that mean? I don't understand. What do you need to know?
Margaret, either speak English or let it go. Now, how do you pronounce her last name?
Smith. There. That.
Don't be a child. How do you pronounce her last name?
I tried to do it, Phil.
Yeah, you don't do it good enough.
What an idiot. Kluwer.
Okay, Kluwer. There. You didn't have to go through some Germanic rigmarole.
I didn't go through a Germanic rigmarole. I said Kluwer. That's German.
Okay. That sounds like, that doesn't even sound like it's...
It doesn't sound like English?
Right.
Because it isn't, it's German. Oh!
Got you on that one, Phil.
I sure did.
Oh, well, I'm just burned. I'm so burned.
Yes, you are, but...
Yeah, she did burn you.
See?
Okay, fine.
See?
Great! All right, the Phil Henry Show quote... God, the children I gotta work with around here. The Phil Henry Show quotes of the day. Now, today's was a fun one, and I had just had it here. I believe it was, it was Vernon Dozier. And the quote goes, I know some women will forgive a man for cheating on them for a short stack. Vernon Dozier.
That is absolute sexism.
I love that one.
Okay, so that was today's show quote of the day. Yesterday was R.C. Collins. I believe it was, you're just another son of a bitch in a long line of son of bitches.
Yeah, and then the one on Saturday was... it's a big do sandwich. Oh, I gotta take a bite.
Yeah, I like that one. That to me, that one, you can use that one.
Yeah, it's a big do sandwich, and we all gotta take a bite. Now, we also had...
I got a quote. Can I give you one?
Okay.
This is who said this, okay?
What do you mean?
It's a quote from a show, but you gotta tell me who said it.
Okay.
Tell the lesbians Bob Green's coming and hell follows with him.
Bob Green.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you're a...
Well, what?
Tell me, you wanted me to guess who that was, right?
Yeah, who said it?
Bob Green.
You're right.
Because you told me in the quote who it was.
Well, I didn't exactly.
Yeah, you did, man. It said tell a lesbian Bob Green coming.
No, I didn't say that. It said tell a lesbian Bob Green is coming.
Listen, bud, that's a ridiculous question to ask me who said this. Tell the lesbians Bob Green is coming and hell follows with him. Bob Green.
Well,
Bud, do us all a favor tomorrow and stay home sick with something that I could imagine is like polio, even though I know you don't have it.
That's a cruel thing to say.
Well, you're a cruel person to be.
Well, don't say it, Bud. Don't say it.
She's just mad because she's allergic to you.
What did you call me?
Nothing.
What did you call me?
Nothing.
Just let it go.
No, I won't let it go. What did you call me?
Lesbian.
I don't care.
Oh, you let one go, huh?
Why would I be offended? Why would I be offended? I'm not a sexist. I'm not anti-bull or anti-dyke or anti... Never mind.
You're a liberal. You're in favor of gay rights.
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to say anti-bull.
I was going to say anti-bull dyke, but I know that that's wrong.
Yes, that is wrong, Mrs. Liberal.
Go to hell.
Margaret, if you tell me that, where's she going now?
Going to the toilet?
As if it's any of your business, yes.
Margaret, before you leave, don't tell me to go to hell and walk out of here, because, you know, like I said, I just as soon fire you.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. You know, even you can sound stupid. And if we call you on it, then you sound stupid. Don't sit here and tell me to go to hell. That's very offensive. That pisses me off.
Do you want to hit me, Phil? Do you want to hit a woman?
No, I don't want to hit you. I want to fire you. I want to kick you out of the studio. That's what I want to do. Because I don't think it's funny, and I think it sounds coarse, and I think it reflects poorly on you.
Well, Phil, I'll go home and talk to my husband about that.
You do that. The next time you say that on the air, though, I'm going to ask you to leave, okay?
Fine.
God, Phil, you can you do that?
Yes. Did we break? Danny, I'm sorry, bud. We did break. Okay, thank God, man, because I just looked at the clock. It's 52 after.
You can do that?
I can do what?
You can fire her?
Yes, I can fire her. Why can't I fire her?
Well, I mean, her old man's got a lot of juice.
I don't give a damn if her old man's got a lot of juice. Frank's a good guy. You never know. What kind of juice has he got with my radio show? I'll fire and hire anybody I want. I don't like that. I think it sounds... She tells me to go to hell because we called her out on the prejudices. You know, there's a lot of people, and I don't care who they are. There are people who have basic prejudice. And you can say you don't, you do. Everyone that says that they are colorblind, they believe me, they have a problem with color. Anyone that says that they have no problem with gay people, they've probably got some problem with gay people. I'm telling you, man.
You got a problem with gay people?
No.
Then you got a problem with gay people.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do have a problem. You know what it is? My own insecurity. I don't want to be, I don't know how to act sometimes around gay people.
Well, that, you're trying to make you, what's that mean?
I mean, I'm telling you, I sometimes am uncomfortable because I'm afraid I'm going to offend somebody. I don't know how to act around gay people.
You're the same way with black people?
Not so much with black people, no.
But you do have a problem now.
Well, if you want to call it a problem, but I sometimes I'm not sure I'm going to say the wrong thing or act the wrong way, yeah.
Man. Yeah, you do. You got a problem with gay people and black people.
If you call that a problem, but here's at least there's one problem I don't have. And the problem I don't have is I don't want anybody not to enjoy the freedom and the liberty of this country that I enjoy. I want everybody to be, you know, cool with them. And I'm totally cool with gay people and black folks. But if you ask me, you know, am I colorblind? Of course not. That's the stupidest comment I've ever heard.
Why?
Nobody's colorblind. It's ridiculous to be colorblind. How can you be colorblind? It's impossible. And what I mean by that is you have to notice the color of someone's skin. And when you notice the color of their skin, you notice the person. And the color of their skin is a part of their experience and a part of who they are, you know?
Yeah, so if you look at Robert, he's black.
Yeah.
What do you think about? Like, he was a slave? He wasn't no slave or nothing.
I don't have to be a slave, man. It's part of my family history.
Exactly. It's part of Robert. It's part of what made Robert. His skin informs, if you will, and don't make a joke, bud.
What?
I'm using a big word. His skin informs who he is, just as your being a dumbass informs who you are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are you laughing at?
You just made a joke, man. You don't even understand.
All right. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. So if you're asking me, am I prejudiced? No. Am I prejudiced? No, I'm not. Do I have a problem? Yeah, kind of, because I'm afraid, I do watch my step and watch how I behave around gay people or black people in a way that I may not around straight people and other people of my pure Aryan racial heritage.
All right. That is absolute racism.
Oh, shut up. I was joking. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by my friend Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and informa yourself as to the world of the groovy world of audio comedy and so on and so forth. Until tonight at 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson to you, America.
Phil Hendry.